أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As I mentioned in the beginning of these talks, that the righteous dream is a dream that you see or someone else sees for you. So here Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saw dreams for Abu Bakr and Umar. In Bukhari, there's a hadith عن سالم عن أبيه عن رؤيا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في أبي بكر وعمر قال رأيت الناس اجتمعوا فقام أبو بكر فنزع ذنوبا أو ذنوبين وفي نزعه ضعف والله يغفر له ثم قام ابن الخطاب فاستحالت غربا فما رأيت من الناس من يفري فرية حتى ضرب الناس بعطن. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saw a dream for أبو بكر وعمر. He saw that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was pulling out water from a well. He was pulling out the bucket. And he pulled out the bucket once or twice. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفِي نَزْعِهِ ضَعْفِ. And his pulling was weak. وَاللَّهُ يَغْفِرُ لَهُ. And may Allah forgive him. But when Umar started to pull out the water, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَاسْتَحَالَتْ غَرْبًا. Gharb is a huge bucket that is made from leather, from cowhide. فَاسْتَحَالَتْ غَرْبًا. فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَفْرِي فَرْيَةً حَتَّى ضَرَبَ النَّاسُ بِعَطًا. He pulled out so much water until all the people brought their cattle, their camels, to drink. And another hadith, it says that he is عبقري. Abqari now, in the current standard Arabic, Abqari is used to refer to the genius. But if we look at the origin of the word, Abqari, as was said by some of the scholars of Arabic, is the man who's at the top and there's no one above him. الرجل الذي ليس فوقه شيء. And it's also used to refer to سيد القوم وكبيرهم وقويهم. Is used to refer to the leader of his people or the strongest man among them. And it comes from the word abqar. And abqar is a place where they used to make some particular type of cloth. Apparently it was some special cloth. And it is also a name of a place or a valley that was known for its jinn. So it's the land of jinn. The land of jinn was called abqar. And it was then used to refer to anything that is unique or special. So anything that is unique or special would be called abqari. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Umar is abqari in this hadith. What does this hadith mean? What does this dream mean? Obviously we know that in terms of status and in terms of good deeds, Abu Bakr has a higher status than Umar. So how come here Abu Bakr was pulling this bucket and there was weakness in his pulling, while with Umar bin Khattab it turned into a huge bucket and water was flowing? This hadith is not referring to status in Akhirah. This hadith is referring to the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and the Khilafah of Umar. The Khilafah of Abu Bakr was short in time. It was only for 2 years. And that's why he pulled out the bucket once or twice. But the Khilafah of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu lasted for 10 years, and the people that became Muslim through the conquest that occurred in the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, the masses that benefited from the reign of Umar bin Khattab is huge compared to the Khilafah of Abu Bakr. Da'wah in the time of Abu Bakr was weak because Abu Bakr was focused on fighting the Murtaddeen and bringing back the people who were already Muslim back to Islam. And in terms of time, it was only for 2 years. But in the time of Umar bin Khattab, the foundation was set and established by Abu Bakr. And now Umar bin Khattab spread the da'wah in the East and the West. So this is the interpretation of the dream of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that he had for Abu Bakr and Umar. In another hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, بين أنا نائم أتيت بقدح لبن فشربت منه حتى إني لأرى الري يخرج من أظفاري، ثم أعطيت فضلي يعني عمر. قالوا: فما أولته يا رسول الله؟ قال: العلم. This hadith in Bukhari, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that he saw himself in his dream drinking milk from a qadah. Qadah is a vessel made out of wood. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم drank so much of this milk that he saw it coming out from beneath his nails. So from the fingertips of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, milk was coming out. And then there was a little bit of milk left in this vessel. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave it to Umar ibn al-Khattab to drink. They said, what is the interpretation of this? He said, it is knowledge. So milk here represents knowledge. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري يقول: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بينما أنا نائم رأيت الناس يعرضون علي وعليهم قمص، فمنهم ما يبلغ الثدي ومنهم ما يبلغ دون ذلك، ومر علي عمر بن الخطاب وعليه قميص يجره. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith in Bukhari that people were presented to him wearing garments. Some of them the garment would reach to their breast, and some of them a bit longer. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab passed in front of me wearing a garment that he was dragging behind him. You might say, well, the sunnah is to have your garment above the ankle, and here Umar ibn al-Khattab is dragging his garment behind him. Well, see, we said that dreams are not for legislation. They don't give us ahkam of sharia. We see symbols in dreams that mean something. Yani, for example, here, it's not literally that Umar ibn al-Khattab is wearing a garment that he's dragging behind him. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the interpretation. He said the interpretation of the garments is the religion. So everyone's religion is according to the garment that he was wearing. Some people, their religion is very weak, and that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the garment reaching to their breast. Some of them longer, meaning their deen is stronger. But the deen of Umar ibn al-Khattab was so strong that his garment was being dragged behind him. Also in Bukhari, قال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه: بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: بين أنا نائم رأيتني في الجنة، فإذا امرأة تتوضأ إلى جانب قصر، قلت: لمن هذا القصر؟ قالوا: لعمر بن الخطاب، فذكرت غيرته فوليت مدبرا. قال أبو هريرة: فبكى عمر بن الخطاب ثم قال: أعليك يا بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله أغار. In this hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said he entered Jannah and he saw a woman making wudu next to a palace. So I asked, who does this palace belong to? In this hadith, it's summarized, but in another hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the angels, who does this palace belong to? They said it belongs to an Arab man. The palace was so beautiful. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم might have thought that it belongs to him. So he said, I am an Arab man. They said it belongs to a man from Quraysh. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I am from Quraysh. Who does it belong to? They said it belongs to Umar ibn al-Khattab. Rasulullah ﷺ says in this hadith that he asked the angels, who does this palace belong to? They said it belongs to Umar. Rasulullah ﷺ said, so I remembered your ghira. Ghira is the jealousy that a person has for his woman, the protection that a man gives to his woman. Rasulullah ﷺ said, then I remembered Umar's ghira and I went back hurriedly. Rasulullah ﷺ left immediately because he remembered the ghira of Umar ibn Khattab. Umar wept and said, let my father and mother be sacrificed for you, O Messenger of Allah. How dare I think of my ghira being offended by you? These are some dreams that Rasulullah ﷺ had of Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Bakr رضي الله عنهما. طيب, our next section, we'll talk about the dreams of the Sahaba, some dreams of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. The first, and this is in Bukhari. By the way, notice that a lot of the ahadith that we're mentioning are from Bukhari, because Bukhari has an entire section or chapter in his Sahih about dreams. Abdullah ibn Umar says that Sahaba رضي الله عنهم would see dreams during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they would narrate their dreams to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, and Rasulullah would interpret the dreams for them. And at the time, Abdullah ibn Umar was young, he was a bachelor, and he would spend his time in the masjid, he would sleep at the masjid. And he told himself, if there's any good in me, then I too would see a dream just like everybody else is seeing dreams. So because the Sahaba were seeing dreams, he wanted also to see a dream like them. So one night when he went to bed, he made a dua. He said, "Oh Allah, if you see any good in me, show me a good dream." It's okay to ask Allah to see a dream. This is what Abdullah ibn Umar did over here. He slept that night and Allah accepted his dua. He saw in his dream two angels come to him, but in the hand of each one of them there was a mace of iron. And they grabbed him and they were taking him towards hell. Obviously, Abdullah ibn Umar was so terrified with this, so he made dua. He said, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from hell." Then he was faced by another angel, and this angel told him, "Do not be afraid. You will be an excellent man if you only pray more often." Obviously, this is talking about voluntary salah, nawafil, not the obligatory ones, because every sahabi used to pray the five daily prayers. This is talking about Qiyamul Layl, the nawafil. So they took him and stopped him at the edge of hell. He said it looked like a well, Katay al-Bi'r, the building that is usually built around a well. Because in the old days when they would dig a well, they would line it with rocks so that the well wouldn't fall in. So he saw that hellfire looked like that. And he looked inside and he saw some people that he knew from Quraysh, some of the kuffar of Quraysh. And then the angels took him away. Abdullah ibn Umar said, "I narrated this dream to Hafsa, radiallahu anha, his sister and the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umm al-Mu'mineen, and she narrated it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah said, no doubt Abdullah is a good man if he would only pray more often. Since that was told to Abdullah ibn Umar, he would never leave Qiyamul Layl. He would never leave Qiyamul Layl, and he would pray a lot at night, radiyallahu anhu." In another dream that was seen by one of the Sahaba, this man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Inni ra'aytu al-laylata fil manami dhulla tantifu as-samna wal-asal fa'ara an-nasa yatakaffafuna minha fal-mustakthiru wal-mustaqil." This companion came to Rasulullah ﷺ and he said that, "I had a dream where I saw a cloud, and this cloud was raining butter and honey. And then I saw people opening their hands and collecting from this butter and honey that is falling from this cloud. Some of them gathered a lot and some of them gathered a smaller amount." So people were different. And then he said, "وَإِذَا سَبَبٌ وَاصِلٌ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ." And then I saw a rope extending from earth to the heavens. فَأَرَاكَ أَخَذْتَ بِهِ فَعَلَوْتْ ثُمَّ أَخَذَ بِهِ رَجُلٌ آخَرْ فَعَلَى بِهِ ثُمَّ أَخَذَ بِهِ رَجُلٌ آخَرْ فَعَلَى بِهِ ثُمَّ أَخَذَ بِهِ رَجُلٌ آخَرَ فَانْقَطَعْ ثُمَّ وَصِلْ. I saw you hold on to that rope and then you went up. So Rasulullah ﷺ held on to that rope and it took him up to the heavens. And then another man held it and it went up. And then another man held it and it went up. And then another man held it, but it broke. Then it got connected again. So after Rasulullah, there are three people who hold on to this rope, but it broke with the third person. However, it was connected again, and then he went up. Before Rasulullah ﷺ gave the interpretation of this dream, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu interjected and said, "O Messenger of Allah, allow me to interpret it." As we said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was an interpreter of dreams. Rasulullah ﷺ told him to go ahead. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that the cloud represents Islam, and the butter and honey dropping from it symbolizes Quran. its sweetness dropping, and some people learning much of Quran and some people little. So according to how much a person took from that butter and honey, that is how much they benefited from Quran. And the rope which is extending from sky to earth is the truth. Al-urwa, al-wuthqa, mentioned in Quran, this is the truth, al-haq. So you will hold on to it and it will rise you up. And then another person will hold on to it and he will rise up. And then a third person will hold on to it and he will rise up. And then the last person, it will break, but then it will be connected for him and he will rise up with it. Abu Bakr now asked Rasulullah ﷺ and told him, am I right? Rasulullah ﷺ told him, some of it was right and some of it was wrong. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, by Allah, in the name of Allah, you must tell me in what I was wrong. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is eager to know what his mistake was so that he wants to learn something new. Rasulullah ﷺ told him, do not swear. Rasulullah refused to tell him what the mistake was. Scholars after that explain the interpretation of this dream to mean al-khilafa, or the rule over the Muslims. First, Rasulullah ﷺ was ruling over the Muslims until he passed away, and then the khilafa of Abu Bakr, and then the khilafa of Umar, and then the khilafa of Uthman. So the breaking of the rope represents the fitna that occurred, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Uthman radiyallahu anhu wa arda. Qais bin Ubad, he is one of the tabi'een. He said, and this also is in Bukhari, he said that he was sitting with some tabi'een in the masjid of Medina, and a man walked in and they could see iman in his face, khushu'. So he, with the gathering, with these men that were sitting with him in the masjid, when they saw this man coming in, they said, this man is from Jannah. Meaning this man belongs to Jannah. Look at the iman, look at the light in his face. This man prayed 2 rak'ah, and they were 2 short rak'ahs. After he finished, Qais walked up to him and told him, when you walked in, these men said, this man belongs to Jannah. So the man responded back by saying, we're talking here about Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu anhu, the Jewish rabbi who became Muslim. He said, no one ought to say what he doesn't know. What he means is, how do they know that I am from Jannah? Why did they say that? But then he gave Qais the explanation of why they said that. He said, وَسَأُحَدِّثُكَ لِمَذَكَ رَأَيْتُ رُؤْيَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَصَصْتُهَا عَلَيْهِ وَرَأَيْتُ كَأَنِّي فِي رَوْضَةٍ ذَكَرَ مِنْ سِعَتِهَا وَخُضْرَتِهَا وَسَطَهَا عَمُودٌ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ أَسْفَلُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وأعلاه في السماء في أعلاه عروة فقيل لي إرقى قلت لا أستطيع فأتاني من صف فرفع ثيابي من خلفي فرقيت حتى كنت في أعلاها فأخذت بالعروة فقيل له استمسك فاستيقظت وإنها لفي يدي فقصصتها على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He said, I saw a dream during the lifetime of Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. I saw that I was in a garden. And then he described the extension and the beauty of this garden. And in the center of the garden, there was an iron pillar. The lower part of it was fixed in the earth, and the upper end of it was in the sky. And at the top of this iron pillar, there was a ring-shaped handhold. So I heard the voice telling me to climb it. I said, I can't. Then a man, a servant, came from behind me and lifted me up by my clothes until I climbed it and I was able to reach to the top of the pillar. Then I was told to grab on to that handhold. So I held it and I was told to hold it firmly. And I held it firmly and I woke up holding it in my hand. So I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I narrated the dream to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that the garden is Islam and the handhold is the most trustworthy handhold. It is Islam, it is the truth. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so you will remain as a Muslim till you die. Because he woke up holding onto it. So the dream ended with him holding on firmly to that handhold. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will die as a Muslim. Radiallahu anhu. There was another addition to his dream in another hadith. He says, فَأُتِيَ بِي جَبَلًا فَقِيلَ لِي إِصْعَدْ قَالَ فَجَعَلْتُ إِذَا أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَصْعَدْ خَرَرْتُ حَتَّى فَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ مِرَارًا. He said, I came next to a mountain and I was told to climb that mountain. But whenever I tried to climb it, I would fall down. And I did that more than once. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted this to mean that you will search for martyrdom, but you will not achieve it. And this is one of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It happened just as he told Abdullah ibn Salam. Abdullah ibn Salam died a natural death and did not die as a shaheed. Umar ibn Khattab saw a dream, and this is in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. He stood up on the minbar on Friday, and after thanking Allah Azza wa Jal and making salah on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mentioning the virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, I saw a dream. إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ رُؤْيَا لَا أَرَاهَا إِلَّا لِحُضُورِ أَجَلِي رَأَيْتُ كَأَنَّ دِيكًا نَقَرَنِي نَقْرَتَيْنِ قَالَ وَذُكَرَ لِي أَنَّهُ دِيكٌ أَحْمَرٌ. Umar ibn Khattab said, I saw a dream where a rooster would peck me twice, and the color of this rooster was red. The dream was narrated to Asma bint Umays, and she also used to interpret dreams. Asma bint Umays was the wife of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and then she married Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So she said, Umar ibn Khattab will be killed by a man who is non-Arab. And it occurred according to her interpretation. Umar ibn Khattab was killed by a Persian man named Abu Lu'lu'ah al-Majusi. So Asma bint Umays also would interpret dreams. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu also knew that the meaning of this dream, it's a sign for his death. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu also saw a dream about the death of Umar ibn Khattab, but he refused to tell Umar about it. When they told him why, he said, I didn't want to give him the news of his death. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu saw a dream that he was writing down the surah of Sa'd, and when he reached to the sajda in Surah Sa'd, he said he saw the pen and the ink and everything in his presence making sujood. And when he mentioned this dream to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after that would always make sujood at that ayah. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu also saw a dream. The day in which he was killed, he saw a dream that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him, you will have iftar with us, you will break your iftar with us. He was fasting that day, and he was killed that day before he broke his fast. And subhanallah, the interpretation of his dream would be directly as he saw it, that he would have iftar that day with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At-Tufayl ibn Amr, another companion, had a dream, and this was before one of al-Ghazawat. قال إني رأيت رؤيا عبروها رأيت أن رأسي حلق وأن خرج من فمي طائر وأن امرأة لقيتني فأدخلتني في فرجها ورأيت ابني يطلبني طلبا حثيثا ثم رأيته حبس عني. He said, I saw a dream, tell me the interpretation. I saw that my hair was shaved, and I saw a bird come out from my mouth, and I saw that I was met by a woman, and I entered into her womb, and I saw that my son was following me, but he was held back from me. They said, this is a good dream, inshallah. He said, but I will tell you the interpretation. The shaving of my head means that my head would be cut. And the bird that came out from my mouth means my soul will leave my body. And the woman that met me and I entered into her womb is the earth that I will be buried in. And my son following me and trying to catch up with me, but then he was held back, means that he will try to die a similar death to mine, meaning fi sabilillah. And immediately after that, At-Tufail radiallahu anhu was killed in Yamama as a shaheed, and his son was injured, a severe injury, but his injuries were healed. However, he was killed in the Battle of Al-Yarmouk. So the interpretation of the dream was exactly as At-Tufail mentioned. Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib saw a dream where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked very exhausted and tired, and his hair was ruffled, and there was dust on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah looked very tired in that dream. And he had a bottle in his hand, and he was collecting blood from the ground and putting it in this bottle. So I told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this bottle? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the blood of Al-Husayn and his companions. And I've been collecting it throughout this night. Ibn Abbas was in Mecca at the time, and Al-Husayn was in Iraq. So it takes time for the news to arrive. When the news arrived, Ibn Abbas asked about the particular day in which Al-Husayn was killed, and it turned out to be the same day when he saw that dream. And this is in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. Dreams of As-Salihin. There are many dreams mentioned about As-Salihin in the books of history. I'll mention just one dream because, alhamdulillah, this is sufficient to mention the dreams of Quran and the dreams of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the dreams of the Sahaba. So I'm not going to go deep in the issue of dreams of As-Salihin because there's some exaggerations here and there, and sometimes the narrations are not authentic. So we'll leave that aside, but I will mention one dream to you. And this dream relates to Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, radiallahu anhu. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi says in his book that one of the scholars, his name is Abdul Wahid bin Adam al-Tawawisi. This scholar saw a dream at night. He saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with some of the Sahaba, and they were standing, waiting. So I gave him salam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded back. I told him, O Messenger of Allah, why are you standing there? Why are you waiting? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am waiting for Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. Al-Imam al-Tawawisi said, the news reached to us of the death of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and it was the same day in which I saw that dream. So these are examples of dreams seen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, and this dream seen by Al-Imam al-Tawawisi. In our next session, inshallah ta'ala, I'll go through examples of how to interpret dreams from the book of Ibn Qutaybah. We'll give examples of principles in dream interpretation. We'll go through the parts of the book of Ibn Qutaybah al-Dinawari. And probably I mentioned before that Ibn Qutaybah is one of the early scholars of Islam. He's a scholar of the 3rd Hijri century, and sometimes he was known as Khatib Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the orator of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He has a book on dream interpretation, Ta'bir al-Ru'ya, and probably it's one of the earlier books on this subject. It's a brief and concise book, and obviously if we want to study the whole book, it's going to take time, but I'm just going to choose
some bits and pieces from this book, and the objective is not to make the listener a dream interpreter. That would need much more study. But the objective is to give you a glimpse of the science of dream interpretation and how it occurs. In the beginning, he gives prerequisites for dream interpretation, what the dream interpreter needs to know. And he mentions that the person who will interpret dreams needs to have a good understanding of Quran, and he needs to also have a good understanding of hadith, and he needs to have a good understanding of language, and he needs to have a good understanding of famous parables and idioms and symbolic meanings that the word in a language carry. And then he gives some examples of direct dreams, dreams that do not need interpretation. For example, he mentions a dream that Aisha bin Talha had. Aisha bin Talha is the daughter of one of the 10 who were given the glad tidings of Jannah, Talha bin Ubaidillah. She saw a dream where her father was telling her, change my place. He already passed away, and he was telling his daughter in this dream that he's asking them to change his location. So when they dug up his grave, they found out that water started seeping into the grave. So they changed the location of his grave to a place that was dry. And by the way, they found out that his body did not change except some of his hair. But his body was protected. Talha bin Ubaidillah died as a shaheed, radiyallahu anhu. Another example is Ata bin Yasar, one of the righteous men of this ummah. He was riding in a boat and he woke up and he said, I saw a dream that I was in Jannah and I was given milk and I drank from that milk. So someone told him, I ask you in the name of Allah to vomit. And he did vomit, and subhanAllah, milk did come out, even though there was no milk on this boat and there wasn't even any animal to provide milk, a goat or a cow. So this is another example of a direct dream. In the area of dream interpretation, the interpreter needs to have understanding of Quran, and then Ibn Qutaybah gives examples of dream interpretation from Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says about al-munafiqun, كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَ. Allah Azza wa Jal describes al-munafiqeen in Surah al-munafiqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as being like wood. So he says that sometimes wood in a dream would mean nifaq. And also Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah al-Baqarah, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ. And then your hearts were hardened after that, and they became like rocks or even harder. So rocks would symbolize harshness in a dream, and they would symbolize weak religion. And then a ship would symbolize safety, because the people of Nuh were saved in a ship. And water can mean fitna, because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, we would have provided for them water as a fitna for them. Meat can represent backbiting, because Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Hujurat, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his brother's dead body? So these are examples of how Quran can help you in interpreting dreams. Also, a key could mean wealth, because Allah Azza wa Jal says about Qarun, مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ, that the keys of Qarun were heavy, and it would need a group of men to carry just the keys, not the treasures, the keys of
قارون.
So these are examples of interpretation from Quran. And then he talks about التأويل بالحديث, interpreting dreams from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So al-ghurab represents a corrupt, evil person. Ghurab is crow. And a rat would represent an evil or corrupt woman, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the ghurab fasiq, which means corrupt, and he called the rat fawaisiqa, which is a feminine form of corrupt. And qawarir, bottles of glass, they represent women, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, rifqan bil qawarir, take it easy or be soft on the glass or the bottles, and that was referring to women. And the dream interpreter needs to also have an understanding of how certain words in a language have a symbolic meaning. For example, an eagle has a symbolic meaning of strength. That's why you'd find that many nations, they use the eagle, because the eagle is a symbol of strength. So the interpretation of an eagle in a dream would mean a strong person. One of the amazing things in dreams is that sometimes a certain thing that you see in a dream could mean the opposite. For example, if you see yourself crying, the interpretation of that is that you would be happy. If you see yourself laughing, then the interpretation of that would be that something would happen that would make you sad. If you see two people wrestling or fighting, the winner loses and the loser wins. That's the interpretation. If you see someone in your dream entering into a grave, it means he will be imprisoned. If you see him entering a prison, it means that he would die. Obviously, most of the time, there is no 100% rule, a rule that is applied all the time in dream interpretation. Always the context needs to be looked at. طيب, I'll go through some examples of what words symbolize. What if you see Allah Ta'ala in your dream? He says, مَنْ رَأَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِمَكَانِ شَمِلَ الْعَدْلُ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْضَعِ. If you see Allah Azza wa Jal in your dream, then the place where you saw Allah Azza wa Jal, that place would be covered with justice. It will be a blessed place, and provisions will be provided to the people of that place. This is if you see Allah Azza wa Jal. If you see the Day of Judgment, that also means that justice will cover that place, because the name of the Day of Judgment, judgment, you derive from a justice, means that justice will cover that certain area. If a person sees that he is in Jannah, it could mean that a lot of rizq will be provided to the people of that area, or it could be a glad tiding to that person that he would enter Jannah. And the opposite is true about hellfire. Seeing angels in a dream. If you see angels in a particular area, it means that the people in that area will be victorious. Or it means that they would be relieved from their pain. Or it would mean that their problems would be solved. While if you, sometimes it could also mean, especially if you see an angel carrying you, it would mean martyrdom. The sky, the heavens, if you see that you climb into the sky and you disappeared, it could mean martyrdom, or it could mean that Allah would elevate your status. Seeing al-anbiya, there's a lot of details in this area. Every Nabi, if you see him, there's a different meaning. But in general, it is good. It is good to see any Nabi in your dream. It is honor, it is a sign of good religion. Now, if you see yourself turning into a Nabi, or you feel that you are a Nabi, or you think that you are a Nabi in your dream, it means that you will go through trials and tribulations just like the Anbiya did, and eventually you will prevail, eventually you will be rewarded. So it's a good sign. If a person sees himself turning into a king or a president in his dream, it means that he would
succeed in dunya, but he would lose his religion? What about seeing Al-Kaaba in a dream? If you are looking towards Al-Kaaba, you are looking at the leader of the Muslims. Because Al-Kaaba is the direction towards which Muslims face in their salah. So it symbolizes leadership. It symbolizes the focal point of the Muslims. So it stands for the Khalifa or the leader of the Ummah. If a person sees himself praying towards Al-Kaaba, it means that he is facing the right direction. He's following the right path. If he also sees himself praying towards Al-Qibla, it would mean the same thing. However, if a person sees himself praying on top of Al-Kaaba, that means he has lost his religion. And if a person sees himself praying, but he is deviating from the direction of Qibla, then he has deviated from the religion. And according to how much his deviation is from Qibla, that's how much he has deviated from Islam. And if a person sees himself praying opposite the direction of Qibla, this is a sign that the person is completely on the wrong track. Reading Qur'an, if a person sees himself reading Qur'an in a dream, that's a good sign. It is hikmah. And then it depends on the particular surah or ayah which the person recites, it could have a special meaning. This is about Qur'an. If a person sees himself as an imam, he's leading others in prayer, this means he will assume a position of responsibility in dunya. Because the imam leads the people in salah, so it symbolizes leadership. Seeing the sun, the moon, and stars. The sun stands for the king or the leader of that particular area, and the moon represents the second in leadership, like the vice president or the wazir of the king. Now, you can see here that the sun and the moon carry different meaning than the meaning we saw in the surah of Yusuf. Because in surah Yusuf, the interpretation of the dream that Yusuf had when he saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars making sujood to him, that represented his father, mother, and brothers pledging their respect to him. And that actually occurred when they entered into Egypt. And they actually did make sujood to him. Physically, they did make sujood to him. And making sujood in those days was allowed. It was something that was made haram by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it's only appropriate for a Muslim to make sujood to Allah azza wa jal. But before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the Sharia of Yusuf alayhi salam, it was allowed for people to make sujood out of respect for, as we see, they did sujood of respect. This is not sujood of ibadah, this is sujood of respect to Yusuf alayhi salam. But the sun and the moon over there represented his father and mother. Yes, in a dream, the sun and the moon can also represent the father or mother, but they could also represent the leaders in that particular area. If you see the sun setting and disappearing, it could mean the death of the leader in that area. If you see weakness in the light of the sun, or the color is reddish, or it is being covered by a cloud, that would also mean a calamity or difficulty that would befall the leader in that area. And then he talks about seeing the different parts of the body. What does the head mean? What does the hand mean? What does the foot mean? Anyway, we'll skip that section. The next section he talks about marriage. He says, if you see yourself marrying a woman, then according to her beauty, that is how much wealth you would receive in this dunya. So usually seeing a beautiful woman is a good sign. In a dream. Obviously, this is talking about when you see a woman, but there is no wet dream involved. Any wet dream has no interpretation whatsoever. There is no meaning in those dreams at all. They're meaningless. Seeing a dead person, If a dead person speaks to you, then usually his words don't need any interpretation. They carry the direct meaning of those words. They don't need to be interpreted.
The scholars of interpretation say that the speech of children, animals, and the dead are true and don't need any interpretation. The meaning is direct because they don't lie. The dead person is in al-akhirah, so he won't lie. And animals, when they speak, they would speak the truth. And they say the same thing with children. If you see a child speaking to you in your dream, then the words are true and direct.
If a dead person takes away something from you in your dream, that means you would lose that thing. If you see yourself embracing a dead person, it means that you would have a long life. If you see yourself entering into a grave and you are alive, it means imprisonment. But if a person sees himself being imprisoned in an unknown place, then it could mean death. If a person sees himself with dead people, it means that he is accompanying munafiqeen, because the munafiq has a dead heart. If you see a dead person that you know and he's happy, it could represent his situation in akhirah. If you see that dead person tired, exhausted, afraid, it could stand for his position in akhirah. If you see yourself walking behind the dead person, following him wherever he goes, it would mean that you would follow the way of that particular person. Next, he talks about bab ta'wil ru'yat al-amtar, rain. If you see rain and it's localized, it's on, so you see the rain falling on a particular area, but surrounding that area there's no rain, this rain could be a rain of punishment that would befall the people of that area. But if you see a general rain, so wherever you look you can see rain, that rain is mercy, it is blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is assistance from Allah. So for example, if a prisoner sees such rain, it would mean that he would be freed from his prison. If an ill person sees such rain, it could mean that he would be healed from his illness. So it is mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, you might remember we talked about the dream that was interpreted by Abu Bakr, where he saw the sky raining honey and butter, and he interpreted it to mean Islam and the benefit that people are getting from Quran. I might have also mentioned that the sea represents the sovereignty of the state, a lake or sea. So if a person sees himself swimming in the sea and he's a prisoner and he reaches to the shore and he walks out of the sea, it means that he would be freed from jail. Then he talks about the interpretation of trees, animals. Trees, animals represent people. And they all represent people, according to the nature of the particular tree and the nature of that animal. So for example, if you see a harmful animal, an animal that we as human beings perceive as being harmful, such as a snake, this would represent an enemy, a human being. If you see a scorpion, it's an enemy. But if you see, let's say, a goat, or you see a cow, it could represent a good person, because Rasulullah ﷺ saw in his dream cows that are being slaughtered. He said, these are my companions that would be killed in the battle of Uhud. Because we as human beings perceive cattle as being beneficial to us. So a cow would represent a good person in a dream. Weapons represent protection. Fire could stand for war. Clouds represent wisdom. A horse, if you see yourself riding a horse, it would mean honor and position in this dunya. That is if the horse is controllable, so you can control it. But if the horse is running wildly with you on its back and you cannot control it, this could mean that the person is following their hawa. They're following their whims and desires and it's taking them in all different directions, and it is an uncontrollable situation. So it's a bad sign. But if the horse is under control, then it means you will receive a position in this dunya according to how nice and strong that horse is. If you see yourself flying, or you are holding on to a bird and it's carrying you somewhere, it would mean travel. Then he talks about a camel. He also says it represents a man. If you see yourself fighting a camel, then you might be fighting with an enemy. He talks then about goats and sheep, same thing. He gives a lot of details. I will not mention all of them, and it could get a bit confusing. But he talks about the snake, and he says that it represents an enemy that is hiding its animosity towards you. And then he says that the white snake is weaker than the dark snake. And if you see yourself killing that snake, then you will win. But if the snake bites you, then that enemy will harm you according to how bad the bite was. The scorpion is an enemy that usually harms with its tongue. So it's an enemy that will harm you with its words. A lion is an enemy that is very strong. A tiger, same thing. Wolf, these are all enemies. But he says that the fox has many meanings in a dream. A bee is good. The bee is good. It symbolizes rizq. But flies are weak enemies. Same thing with mosquitoes. Frog is a worshipper, abid. So frog is a good sign. Same thing with a turtle. They carry a good meaning. Then he moves on to other miscellaneous issues. He talks about light means guidance. Darkness means misguidance. If you see an area and it looks like the area is haunted and it's destroyed, it means that there's misguidance in that particular area. If you see a place that is very well built but then it falls down in your dream, it means that calamities would befall that particular area. He says if a person sees that he is deaf or dumb, that would mean a weakness in religion. If a person sees himself old in age while he is young, that is wisdom. And if you see that you missed the salah and you're not able to find a place to pray, that means that you will go through some difficulties. If you see yourself making wudu, that means that whatever problem you are going through when you saw the dream, that problem will be solved. If you see yourself making wudu but you didn't finish the wudu, it means that that problem will be solved according to how much wudu you finished. If a da'iyah, a person who's calling to Islam, sees himself singing or he's using musical instruments such as a guitar or a flute or any other instrument, even though it appears to have a bad meaning, but the meaning is good, it means that his words would have an effect on the people. Because Al-Hasan al-Basri, a dream was seen for him that he was standing naked on a dumpster and he was singing on a barbat, something similar to a guitar, but some old-fashioned instrument. All of the signs in this dream do not appear to be good. Naked and standing on a dumpster and singing. But Ibn Sirin interpreted the dream to have a very good meaning. He said, naked, Al-Hasan al-Basri standing naked means he's free of sins. And standing on a dumpster means dunya is under his feet and he's standing on top of it, meaning dunya does not control him. And using this musical instrument, which is similar to a guitar, means his words have an effect on the ears of the listeners, just like music does. But Ibn Qutaybah says that also these musical instruments could have another meaning, and that is a calamity that would befall that area. If you see yourself in a green garden and then all of that greenery disappeared, it means that some evil will befall the person who saw such a dream. If a person sees himself on a swing, it means that he's playing with his religion, meaning he's going back and forth. If a person sees that he is sweeping his house, it could mean that he would lose his money. If a person sees that he was being called from an unknown location and he responded to the call, it could mean that he would die. If a person sees that he is sleeping under a tree, it could mean that he would have a lot of children. If you see a minaret falling down, it means that the people of that masjid will dispute among themselves and disunite. If you see yourself holding a pen or writing with a pen, it could mean knowledge. If you see yourself gathering pearls, it could mean that you are also seeking knowledge and you are learning this knowledge. If you see doors opening up in the heavens, it could mean rain falling down from the sky. If you see yourself knocking on a door, it could mean that your dua will be accepted. These are examples from the book of Dream Interpretation by Ibn Qutaybah. I hope that you found some benefit in it. Again, I said, obviously, just reading a book does not make a person a dream interpreter, but it gives you a flavor of this interesting world of al-ghayb, of the unseen, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is the glad tiding that a Muslim received in this dunya. By this, we end this series of lectures. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us all. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira.
For further information, please contact Al-Bashir Publications and Translations at 1-877-745-3330 or 303-574-0095. Our fax number is 303-373-0943 or visit our website at www.albashir.com. That's www.al-bashir.com. All rights reserved for Al-Bashir Company for publications and translations. No part of this series may be reproduced in any form without written permission from the publisher. Unlawful reproductions may prevent Muslim businesses from further producing quality programs. Your consideration is greatly appreciated. Jazakumullahu khairan.